people everywhere, the sweet meaning of Om Shanti Om, Om Shanti Om. I'm a peaceful soul, Om Shanti Om. I'm a peaceful soul.
Very, very warm welcome to you all. It's nice to see you all here tonight. So the format for the evening, we have Pooja from Awaz FM Radio, who's kindly, generously given her time to us, and she will be interviewing Sister Jenti and Sister Shivani. Sister Jenti is the European Director of the Brahma Kumaris. She has been practicing for over 40 years. She's sitting here in the center. And she's... as I say, the European director of the Brahma Kumaris, and she has an extremely gentle voice, but very powerful, and her wisdom has helped hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in her travels throughout the world. And Sister Shivani has come all the way from Delhi to do this Awakening with Brahma Kumaris tour all over the UK. And she's a hugely sought-after speaker and is also very clear about the wisdom she shares. She actually has a background in engineering, and she has a very simple way of analyzing the root of problems. So we're looking forward to hearing tonight. Thank you all very much.
I would like to take this opportunity to thank you. You are gracing us with your presence. Thank you very much. And as Rose mentioned, today's theme is finding solution to life's problem. And in my opinion, I believe, and I think most of the audience do agree with me, life in itself is very complicated and challenging. So what's your opinion on that?
It's true. But before we begin with the subject, I'd just like to share an expression, a greeting of peace. Om Shanti. Om, I am, Shanti, peace. And yes, life is challenging, and maybe each generation has felt that life gets more and more challenging as time goes on. But I do feel that we are facing very, very challenging situations, especially now at this point in human history. But I think that human resources can be developed to a point where we enjoy the challenge and we see it as a game and we don't find it a problem.
Okay. So as we mentioned, in Scotland, particularly in Glasgow, there are loads and loads of problems. First of all, no one can predict Glasgow's weather, and no one can predict who's going to win the football match. But apart from that, there is so many problems like unemployment, obesity, drug addiction. So do you think we can solve these problems through meditation?
Om Shanti, good evening. You have a whole list of them, don't you? And not necessarily they're only in Glasgow. I think these challenges are everywhere. Weather is becoming very unpredictable everywhere, actually. And there is a whole shift in the way things are happening everywhere, and that applies all over the globe. And yes, like you said, can meditation do anything about them? No. Meditation can't do anything about the weather, but yes, meditation can change my mindset about the weather. Earlier, I could just keep on grumbling day in and day out about the weather. Why is it so hot? Why is it so cold? Does it have to rain? Does it have to snow? I can just go on and on grumbling about something which is not in my control. So the weather, I understand, is not in my control. The economic situation and the other things, the football match, also again not in my control. But whether I have to go on getting irritated with every change that takes place, that is definitely in my control. So meditation doesn't work on the situation, meditation doesn't work on the opposite person, but meditation gives me the power to face the situation with stability and to understand that the external situation is not in my control. So why should I go out of control trying to control something which is not in my control?
So, as you mentioned, with meditation we can control everything. So do you think we can gel meditation?
With meditation we cannot control everything.
But we can think in a positive way.
Absolutely.
So do you think we can gel meditation and yoga together and overcome all our problems?
Yoga is actually connection, a link. But today, in today's terminology, we have relate yoga with physical posture. I didn't know what it's like here, but in India, yoga is becoming the in thing. Whether you call it hot yoga, you call it pranayama, and which is very, very useful. People are experiencing wonderful results with that. But it works on my physical health, which is very important. And meditation works on my emotional health. So it's not that should I do this or should I do that. Both are important. One, for my physical health. But what I also understand is that how much ever I take care of the body, if the mind is not healthy, then the body still is not able to cope up with it. And we understand today that most of our diseases are due to mental illness, you know, some kind of stress or depression or pain. It affects the organ in my body. Yes, the physical exercise helps to maintain it, but still if I could also take care of the mind, then the result would be wonderful. So meditation and yoga, or what we say, meditation and pranayama, both is equally fine. But we understand that it's mind over body. You know, there is a little confusion about this sometimes. Some people say, healthy body, so then you will have a healthy mind.
Yes.
If my body is healthy, I will automatically be happy. So is that okay?
Yeah.
No, we think the other way around. Healthy mind
is healthy body.
Is, yeah, helps the body to be healthy, because pain, stress affects the organs in my body.
So can you give us some tips to how to have healthy mind?
How to have healthy mind?
Yeah, because in today's situation we are thinking about our jobs, our kids and our family, our relationships. So how we can have healthy mind in that situation?
Okay. We have to think about them. We are going to think about our job, our family, our relationships, but what are we going to think about them is important.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that meditation doesn't mean stop thinking about all your roles and responsibilities and just sit in silence and, you know, just think about yourself. That's not meditation. Meditation is basically a technique which helps me to create the right thoughts in every situation. Like you said, job is a problem. So now if I go to work every day, it all depends. I am going to go to work, but what kind of thoughts I carry with myself to work? Is it that every morning I create a thought, oh, again I have to go to work? Oh, the same boss, the same people, oh, will I have my job or will they ask me to leave today? I'm still going to work, you see. But my attitude, my perception towards what I'm doing is not very healthy. And then that creates an aura around me, a negative aura, and I go to work. Then the people I work with, what kind of thoughts I create about them? You know, I don't like my boss. He is nasty, my boss should change. If my boss changes, my life will be so beautiful.
Be
I
so
still
great.
Have to work with the same boss. But my way of thinking about him. So then it is, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. And then life becomes a burden, you know, and you say, I have to do so many things. But meditation helps me to change my approach towards it. It's not that I have to do this, I want to do this. I have a choice in every situation. The boss will not change, but maybe I can change the way I think about him. Because if I change the way I think about him, the only person who benefits
is me.
I will like to go to work the next morning. It's the same world. It's the same family, the same husband, the same children and the same boss. It's me which matters, the way I look at each one of them. And that's what makes the world either a beautiful place for me, mm-hmm. or that world, you know, the same world is a burden and it's like, how's life? Oh, it's going on. Mm-hmm. Chal raha, you know, not enjoying life. So, and then we wait for situations to change mm-hmm. so that we can be happy. But meditation says, irrespective of any situation. Mm-hmm.
So meditation can help us out in so many things. So can any layman can do meditation, or is there any special technique? You have to go somewhere in the mountain and sit there and do some kind of thing.
Meditation is actually something that in a way everybody does naturally, automatically anyway. When you have a quiet moment and you sit and reflect about what the day is going to bring at the start of the day or at the end of the day, you have a chance just to be quiet again and you reflect on what's happened through the day. Mm-hmm. So that opportunity to be able to go inside and reflect, that actually is meditation.
Right.
And so it's something that's very natural and very easy for absolutely everyone. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying is that maybe there can be something more specific within the meditation. Mm-hmm. And if I can turn my thoughts inwards and leave the world out there for just a few moments and just see what's going on in my own inner world. I'm not trying to stop my thoughts. I'm not trying to focus on a word or a scripture or an image or anything like that. But very naturally, instead of letting my thoughts go in a dozen different directions, mm-hmm. I'm letting my thoughts move to the awareness of the inner being. And the question I ask myself is the eternal question we've always had, well, who am I? Where have I come from? And just asking those questions by themselves might take thousands of years to answer, but Raj Yoga meditation offers some ideas. And the suggestion would be that in meditation, you reflect on these ideas, the awareness of the self as a spiritual being, a soul, to think about that dimension beyond this physical world mm-hmm. where we came from to play our part on the world stage. So that is meditation, letting my mind move, mm-hmm. but letting my mind move in the direction of truth, to let my thoughts go in the awareness of eternity. And that is then meditation that then leads to the stage of yoga, union, communion, communication, connection with the divine. And so meditation is a method to be able to come to that experience of the divine within my own life.
Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, with meditation we can take our mind to somewhere else. So meditation that strong that we can tell our mind to go this direction or that direction? Can a person like me, who is juggling between jobs and housework and everything, can I do that?
In fact, meditation means taking charge of what's going on in my own mind. And so what I'm doing then is learning how to use the energy of my mind where there's a need. Because a lot of our energy gets dissipated. Because things that I don't need to be thinking about, for example, if we're sitting here and instead of being focused here, I can see everybody is focused here, but say for example if you're thinking about the television program that you missed tonight, then that energy is going to create a very different vibration. And so just simply learning to be in the present and focus on what it is that's important for me at this moment means that if my mind is focused, then my life is going to be moving in the right direction and flowing in the right way. And so meditation is part of the process of understanding where my thoughts are coming from and how in the awareness of my own spiritual being, I can then channel my energy. One of the big errors in life has been we've forgotten about our spiritual identity and we focus just on the physical identity, gender, nationality, race, color. Many of the problems you mentioned earlier actually relate back to this directly. Because when I shift from that belief system, that paradigm that I am this, and I come to a different paradigm of the eternal self, then I know that my thoughts are my creation. In the awareness of the body, where are my thoughts coming from? Mm-hmm. I think they're coming from out there, but they're not. They're coming from within. But in the awareness of I, the soul, then I know that my thoughts are my treasure. I can use this treasure in a beautiful way, in a worthwhile way, mm-hmm. instead of allowing it to go to waste or allowing it to go in a negative direction. Mm-hmm. So meditation means understanding what's going on within myself.
Okay, let's move to the theme. And at present, I think the biggest crisis we are facing is our economy. And most of us don't want to forgive our bankers. I believe you guys go with that. And after bankers, we don't want to forgive our MPs. But by the next election, we might vote for the same MP. But if we see on the personal level, we find it very hard to forgive someone, those who have done something wrong to us. On personal level, we find it very hard. But in your opinion, how we can forgive someone and be calm and positive in today's situation?
I'd like to go back to the first point that
yes,
you started
economic crisis.
With.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that happened last year, this year, it continues, is that people began to see that it wasn't just an economic crisis, mm-hmm. but it was actually a crisis of values. I think that until then, people would not have acknowledged that the Western world in particular is facing a crisis of values on the scale that it is. I would have said that a long time ago, but now I saw it being published in the press. I was hearing people talk about it, and it was acknowledged very clearly. It's a crisis of values. And okay, so there were a few people who carried responsibility. But if we look at the subject of values, then we see it's a global crisis. And it affects every single one of us. Day to day, I'm faced with a choice. Which values do I follow? Mm-hmm. And is it convenient to follow truth? Or is it not convenient to follow truth? And so I'm contributing to the crisis of the world. Mm-hmm. I can't say that the crisis is out there and I'm not part of it, but my own life and my own behavior is very much a contribution to that also. And so when I begin to understand this, and I see that it's not that they're the problem, but we're all part of the same situation, then I say, well, what can I do about this? Well, I can't change the bankers or the politicians overnight, but what I can do is change myself. And I believe very deeply that if I begin to follow the deep spiritual values that each one of us actually holds within ourselves, there is something within us that is there that tells us what is true. There is something within us that tells us what is integrity. And yet, of course, it becomes convenient not to follow those values. And if tonight I make this personal commitment, I'm going to listen to my own inner voice of conscience, and I'm going to follow that voice of conscience in my life, I would begin to see a difference happen even within a day. And definitely that would impact people around me, whether at home, at work, my neighbors, everyone. And we would start shifting things in the right direction. Mm-hmm. When we just simply talk about problems, 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 then our head is caught up in all that negativity. But if we start looking at, well, how can we resolve the situation, then we begin to find solutions. There was a very interesting quote that I read from Einstein. And he said that if you try and solve problems in the domain of problems, you can never find the solution. What you have to do is to go above the domain of problems, then that is the domain where you will find solutions. So meditation is helping us do that, go up above and then be able to see what it is I can do for my own life and others around me.
And the next question is, how we can forgive someone and be calm in today's situation, so today's circumstances?
How should we forgive someone? Are there quite a few people on the list of your mind whom you have to forgive? Are there? Yes? Are there people who have hurt us, cheated us? They could be the ones you mentioned, or they could be the ones in my very close circle. And now I have a choice, right? Whether I hold it against them, keep on creating the pain again and again of something that has gone, it's over, it's past, or I can just let it go. But the important question is, who do I have to forgive? I have to forgive the one who has hurt me, right? I have to forgive the one who has hurt me. I personally feel, for me, the one who hurts me is actually just myself. The politicians, the bankers, they're sitting wherever they're sitting. They're doing whatever they're doing. Right or wrong is not the question, but they definitely don't hurt me. But when I go on and on and on, thinking about them, thinking about what they've done, thinking about what's going to happen to me, what will happen to me, what will happen to my family, when I am creating the wrong quality of thoughts, then the only one who's hurting me is me, myself. It's only me, myself. They've done what they have to do. People in my family, in my office, somebody's trying to, you know, do some internal politics, someone's trying to go ahead, pushing me aside. They're doing what they have to do. Not that we just sit back and say, okay, go and do whatever you want to do. We take proactive action, whatever has to be done. But important is, what do we do here? What kind of thoughts am I going to create here? So I personally feel there's no one that we really have to forgive, except for ourselves, because the only one who hurts me is me, myself. When I go on and on, you know, like we used to hear about physical abuse. Someone tries to commit suicide, someone slits their wrist and try to do all these kind of things. And we would say, how can you hurt yourself? Who would ever do that? Do this to yourself. You've gone and cut yourself. And every time when we create all these thoughts, we need to ask ourselves, how can you hurt yourself? You are hurting yourself again and again. So forgiving someone is not so much about that person, but I understand that when I let it go from here, it's I who will feel comfortable. A few days back, I met a young brother who hadn't spoken to his mother for many, many years because of some internal conflict in the family. And at the end of the program, he came and said, my mother is in a lot of pain. I am in a lot of pain. My wife is in a lot of pain. My children are in a lot of pain. I said, reason? Reason is I haven't been talking to my mother for a very long time. I said, so simple, just go and talk to her. He said, no, I'm not going to go and talk to her. That way you don't know what she has done to me. I said, whatever she has done to you. But if you want to free yourself from pain, it's only in your hands, like this, and it's over. Otherwise, your choice, continue living with it for however long you want. And the day you want to get rid of it, it's only in your hands. Earlier, we used to think the other person has to do something. My mother has done something wrong to me, so my mother has to do something so that I will be free of pain. No one has to do anything.
And that evening, he really went back after the program to his mother. And the next day, the whole family came. And they said, oh, it was so simple. But years of who will do it first? The only one who wants to be without pain, please go ahead and do it first. It's very simple. What we don't realize is that when we hold things against someone, it's first causing a lot of damage here inside. It's resentment, it's hatred. It would affect my physical costume. It will affect my relationships. And it doesn't affect only that particular relationship. Because, okay, another one. I met a young boy who hates his father because his father used to physically abuse the mother. So as a young boy, he had seen only physical violence in his family. And he hadn't spoken to his father for years. He said, I hate that man. He never even used to refer to him as, you know, dad or whatever. He said, I hate that man and I'm never going to talk to him. And he felt it was justified. His anger was justified. His hatred was justified. But what was happening was, none of his other relationships were working out fine. Because there was so much bitterness, there was so much pain, so that person had only bitterness to offer to whoever he met. So he said, why aren't my relationships working on fine? I said, only one solution. Forgive your father. He said, never. I'll never do that. So continue then. But if you want, you will have to empty yourself here of the bitterness. So bitterness created for one particular individual doesn't stay only with that individual. It's basically energy that I've created here, which will flow into every relationship. And most important, stays here every day. Unfortunately, the people whom we don't like stay on our mind most of the time, don't they? They're all here most of the time. So once I realize it's I am hurting myself, then forgiveness. How much time would it take?
But is it okay to be angry sometimes?
I don't know. It's your choice. It's like saying, is it okay to fall ill once in a while? If you wish to. And then decide how often. You just have to decide how often you want to fall ill and then keep a parameter. And fall ill that many times a day. How many times do you feel you want to fall ill in a day? No one. We always look at perfect health. And once we aim for perfect health, then once in a while we would fall ill, you know. But if we say, it's okay to fall ill once in a while, then the frequency of falling ill is quite a bit.
Once in a while is when you're having exams or something.
So you should get angry?
No. Fall sick, not angry. Okay, we'll move to next question. How does someone maintain effort to find solution when a problem seems to be going for years and years?
In fact, what happens is that the mind goes round in a broken record. And so this is why the examples that Sister Shivani just mentioned, the more you repeat that thing in your mind, the more it gets entrenched and the bigger it becomes. You know, they speak about little tiny drops becoming as big as a mountain, whereas a mountain can become a tiny little mustard seed. And the way it works is just simply how much energy I'm giving it. So this little seed has become bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's become a mountain. And that's because I just kept thinking about the problem, the problem, the problem, the problem. And if instead I were to step away, I'll use a word that's not always understood, but I think it's an important word. If I could be a little bit detached. And detachment doesn't mean hardness or coldness or dryness. It simply means being able to step away for a moment and actually see what's going on. And so the other word that we often use for the word detach is observer. To be a detached observer and see what the situation really is. Because when I'm stuck there, I can't see. My vision is very restricted. But I step away a little bit, then I can see what's going on. And because I can see what's going on, I'll be able to find a way to deal with it. And I think that, again, the most important thing is to know that if I want my own state of peace to stay with me, if I want my own state of happiness to stay with me, I have to do something about it myself. Otherwise, I'm handing over my life into somebody else's hand. And one of the things that I think many people here would connect with is this desire of the human heart for freedom. Right? We want to be free. But yet what we're doing when we allow problems to overtake us, we're handing over our freedom to other people and circumstances instead of being able to step back, see what's going on, deal with it, and be able to be free.
So what suggestion could you offer us to remain determined to find solutions?
My happiness is more important than my pain, my choice. The whole path of spirituality is being able to see that I can be the master of my own life. And this is where the word Raj Yoga comes in. Raja, the sovereign, the king, the master. It doesn't mean wearing a crown on my head or a tiara, but it means being the master of my own life. And if I'm choosing to have happiness in my life, then instead of being stuck, I'll say, okay, well, what can I do about this? Instead of just asking the question why and how and if and when and but, you know, those questions are endless. Have you been there? You start asking those questions, why? And who's going to give you an answer? There'll never be an answer. But what you can do is, okay, here's what's going on, now what can I do about it? And if I take that responsibility for myself, and again, this word responsibility is not a pleasant word sometimes, but it's actually the key to freedom. When I accept responsibility, that's when I become free. And when I don't accept responsibility, I stay in bondage to people and circumstances and problems. And so my choice, I want to maintain my inner equilibrium. I want to maintain my state of happiness. And if I want to do this, then this and this and this is what I have to do.
As you mentioned the word Raj Yoga, and here we came to know today, there are quite a lot of people who are coming for this event and this kind of event for the very first time. So how you can define Raj Yoga, how Raj Yoga is different from other forms of yoga?
It's a meditation, so mm-hmm. We've already seen that difference, that it's not a physical exercise, it is something to do with my mind. So there are a lot of meditation techniques today, and sometimes we get confused, what should I do and what's the right one for me? The most common thing that people feel that when they have to meditate is choose a point, concentrate on that, and stop thinking. Try and go absolutely blank. One, this can be the biggest challenge because the nature of the mind is to think. It's natural for thoughts to get created, and what we try to do is go against the natural. We try to stop thinking, which is not possible. So it creates a pressure here. Even creating this thought that I don't have to think, this is a thought. So you can never really be absolutely thoughtless. What can happen is you can create positive thoughts which are powerful and slow, but not zero, no thoughts at all. And even if we did achieve no thoughts, how would it be beneficial? When I go to work, when I'm dealing with family. If I go to work and there is a project there to be done or there's a crisis at work, I can't say, stop thinking. I have to think at that time. But important is what quality of thoughts. The other kind of meditation, which is very common, is taking a very pure positive word and repeating it. What we call mantra. You take a very powerful word. So the word itself is a very high energy word. So when you repeat a word again and again, what happens is that for that much time, there are no negative and waste thoughts. So if you do it for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, the mind feels very light after that because no leakage. But what tends to happen after some time is if you've been repeating the same word for many, many days or many, many months, then after some time you can repeat it without the mind actually being there. Yeah, you can go on saying the word again and again, and the mind could be at office and the mind could be thinking about something else, and then it will not help me. What we do in Raj Yoga meditation is not stop thinking, not take the same word or a same sentence and repeat it again and again, but to consciously create the right kind of thoughts for myself. So when the mind is involved in doing creative work, not repetitive work, then it's fully there. But if I ask my mind to do a repetitive work, then it tends to go here and there and it loses interest. So the mind consciously creates the right thoughts based on the knowledge, the truth that I get. Like Sister Jayanti said, who am I? Finding this answer. Till date I thought I was just the body, the name, the profession, the role, the relationship. But these are all the things that I have acquired in my lifetime. But who am I who plays the role, who goes to work, who is in this particular relationship? So I am that beautiful being, that energy. I didn't even know about it. What's my nature? I'm peaceful. I'm happy. And that's why everyone likes peace. So when I sit in meditation, I will consciously create those thoughts that I, the being, am the master of this body. I am a peaceful being. I don't want peace. I don't want happiness. This is already my original nature. So I basically channelize my mind into that thinking. So it's basically setting the mind to that particular frequency and understanding that I am the creator of every thought. Now once I spend 10 to 15 minutes in the morning programming my mind to this particular frequency, and now I go to work. Now let the economic crisis or all that whole list come, and I will immediately have the thought, yes, the situation is whatever it is, but I am a powerful being. I am the master of the situation. Instead of the normal, ordinary thoughts, now what will happen to me? This is the end of everything. There is no future for me. Situation is still the same. It's just what thoughts I will create at that particular time.
And I was going through the website, the PK's website, and there you mentioned having a solution-based approach. So what does it mean to have a solution-based approach to life?
It means starting the day knowing that the day is in my hands, and whatever is my attitude towards life, that's how I'm going to create the circumstances around me. And so if I begin the day and I say, oh, what a horrible day, it's a problem, then what I'll face through the whole day are nothing but more problems. But if I begin the day appreciating the beauty of life, appreciating the value of my own life, then I say, well, what is it that today offers me? And I'll move forward in that direction. And I'll make a positive contribution for my own life, but also a positive contribution to my family and the world around me. And so I think that what's happened is that we've accepted that the world has become negative, the world has problems, and there's nothing we can do about it. People feel quite helpless today. They feel that the problems are overwhelming. And I have to also say that media and the leaders of today's society really instill a lot of fear in people, because fear is a method of control. And so what we're doing is having all these problems face us, and we're being told that, you know, you should be afraid about all of this, and so then there can be an external control out there. But I decide to do things differently. I say, well, my future is in my own hands. And what I do at the present moment is going to create my future. It's not just going to happen by chance, and I don't have to let anybody else dictate my future or take charge of it, but I can decide what my future is to be. So my thoughts, if they're elevated thoughts, they're going to create that atmosphere in which it's going to be easy for me to have good relationships, good actions, and I'm going to start creating a better world. And so, yes, it begins with the self in a very personal way, and my own inner state of being and my relationships with others. But also, each one of us has an impact on the world. You know, they say if you lift your finger, you move the stars. Well, it's true that each one of us has a very long-term impact. And so instead of just accepting that it's a world of problems and huddle myself in a corner and say, well, what am I going to do? I can't do anything about it. I say, okay, well, I can begin with myself. And that's going to have a far-reaching impact. But I don't have to wait to see that. I just have to have that trust that the seeds planted today are going to be bringing the right fruits in the future.
So I'll share a little example on what Chantipan said, because it's very deep how our right thinking can make us solution-oriented. There was this young 24-year-old girl, and she called us. She was standing on the terrace of her building, ready to jump down. And she had her phone with her, and she had the number of the television program on that. And she said, I am ready to jump down, but I just thought I'll call you all up to see whether you can do anything about my problem. We're talking about challenges. And she was crying continuously. And her problem was, or her challenge was, that her husband was going to leave her for someone else, and he had already prepared the divorce papers. And this young girl felt it was the end of the world for her. And she said, there's no way I can live. There's no way my parents can go through all this, and I am not ready to go through this. So what do I do? The only solution I can think of, she says, is end everything. So we talked to her for some time, and we did a little experiment, which she worked. She did all the work. And that was, yes, there is a lot of challenge outside, because the husband was still there with her, coming home every day, abusing her, criticizing her, because he wanted to justify what he had done. And you know, he kept on rubbing into her every day that you are a horrible person, and that's why I'm leaving you. I am not doing anything wrong. It's you who are wrong. So she was going through this lot of trauma and pain. And then we said, is it possible for you to create a thought? Everything is absolutely normal. So nothing is wrong. Mm-hmm. My husband is absolutely fine. And she said, no, how can I create a thought that he's not absolutely fine? I said, what do you want to happen? What do you want your destiny to be? She said, I want my destiny that my husband should be back with me. Whereas she had the divorce papers in her cupboard with her. I said, then whatever you want your destiny to be, create that thought without a single doubt. She went through this whole process. It took her about 15-20 days to really change her way of thinking. And she said, everything is normal, everything is fine. And she tried very hard, and she was absolutely natural even when her husband used to come home. No crying, no pain, no criticism, nothing. That provoked the husband even more, you know, that when something is wrong like this, how can she be? And he got even worse. Challenges for her. She continued doing that. After 2 months, he left. He went to the US, and the girl with him, she left. And he said, I'm not coming back. This young sister, she called up and she said, my husband's left. And I said, I don't know. I thought, what is she going to do now? And she said, but you know what? I'm okay. I'm fine. Because in those many days, she had changed her whole way of thinking. And that had brought her stability. Situation had not changed, but her way of thinking gave her that inner power to cross the situation. She got to work, she started taking care of herself. After 1 month, her husband calls back. And he says, I've realized what I've done. Can I come back? And this has been 1.5 years. And they're both together. Very fine. Absolutely. Everything okay in their house.
So it's all in our thinking.
And it started from the terrace of her building.
So with meditation, we can change ourselves. We can Absolutely. Change our thinking. So now you can take us to the meditation now.
Yeah, sure. Come. Let's sit comfortably for a few moments. Which is not doing anything unnatural, nothing new, creating thoughts, but the only difference now with awareness, choosing our thoughts. So we'll give you a few thoughts. Just try to take your mind with those thoughts. Let the body relax, very comfortable. And let me see myself. I haven't seen myself for a very long time. Probably didn't even know myself. The one who plays the roles and the relationships. The one who comes into actions. I, the energy. Which creates every thought, feeling, and experience. I am a powerful being. The master of my mind and the master of every situation. I choose at every step my responses, and today I choose happiness as my response. Because I am a happy being. Let there be any situation, any challenge outside. I am ready. Because I have learnt the art of creating the right response. Being, vibrations of happiness and power spread from me to everyone I meet, everywhere I go. There is a whole layer of energy that protects me. I am in that protective shield, consciously choosing and creating every response.
Okay, I'm sure you all enjoyed the beautiful meditation and hope it helped to clear your mind and refresh your soul. Now let's resume our question and answer session. And these questions, I think, is going to be really tough because we received these questions from our audience when they were registering their themselves. So first question I received is, can you define the purpose of one's life? We all juggle between work and family and somehow totally ignore what we need. In reality, there is no me time anymore. How can we tackle all this in a positive way?
Well, I think that the person who's asked the question is on the right track, because actually at that moment when you do acknowledge that this is the situation, that's when you start finding the solution. Otherwise, if you're just trapped in that situation, you don't even realize that you can do something about it. And there's a very simple formula that I learned many, many years ago. And that was that if I put myself at the top of the pyramid, then on the other side, I put my situations of life, whether it's my health, whether it's my family, or whether it's my work. And on the other side, I put the situation of my relationship with God, then that's going to resolve many things. Or maybe you could turn it around the other way. You could put God at the apex, and then on one side is me, and on the other side is all the situations of my life. I think that today's world has become a very secular world. And sometimes we've dissociated ourselves from the spiritual because of all sorts of images we've had about God. And we've said that God divides us and isn't a force or an energy that can bring us together. But having said that and done that, we've deprived of ourselves of the source of love, of truth, of power, and whatever it is I need in human life. And so if I say, if I get my own self sorted out, if the battery is charged, then the battery can do the work it needs to do. If the battery is discharged, then everything around me is going haywire. My work isn't working out, my relationships aren't working out, and everything is getting into a state of chaos, and I wonder why. But it's because I haven't sorted things out for myself. And if I'm in a mess, how can I sort things out for myself? I can't. I need to take help from up above. And so if I put the Supreme at that apex, understanding that this isn't a question of religion or belief in that sense, but the recognition that there is one who is the divine. And that one is the parent of all of us, so no question of any division on any level. But my personal relationship with that being of light is that which is going to help me have the strength to balance things out in my life properly. Otherwise, I think for the majority of people, either we give attention to our family, or we give attention to our work, or we give attention to our health, and to manage to balance all of these things we think is difficult, but it should be normal. It should be part of my life as a day-to-day basis, you know? Why should it be something that's so difficult to manage? But that's because I've lost my inner strength and power, and I don't know where to get that from. And so meditation means, yes, turning inwards, but also connecting with the one above, so that I have the energy, the strength to do all the things that I need to do out here.
Mm-hmm. And the next question is, what is more powerful, our destiny, our fate, or our luck?
Our destiny, our fate, our luck. The question is not what's more powerful, the question is who creates this. Mm-hmm. It is when I tend to go feel that things are not in my control, and when I'm not able to handle my situations and my challenges properly, I need someone to blame for what I'm going through, and more important, for the pain that I'm going through. It's less about outside, but it's the pain that I'm going through. So I normally blame situations, I blame people, and then I say, my luck. Meri kismati kharab. You see? So when I say this, that this is bad luck or this is my fate, I basically give up the responsibility of having to do anything about it. It's my luck. My fault? Not my fault at all. You know? So this saves me from doing a little hard work about changing the way things are. And this saves me from the hard work of getting rid of my pain. I just tell myself, living in pain is your destiny. And then I continue to live in pain. But when I understand that I create my destiny because I create my thought, and then I understand that the pain that I'm creating is being created by me, then I have to do a little effort, a little hard work of changing those quality of thoughts. It is very easy to say, you are responsible for my pain. You see, it makes me feel good when I can blame someone else for the pain, because then I say, you change. Because when you change, I will be happy. And when we look at the list, we have a whole list of how many people need to change so that I can be happy. But how many of us have the courage to say that I am responsible for my pain? Are we ready to say, I am responsible for my pain? Because the minute I say, I am responsible for my pain, then the next sentence would be, then I have to do something about it. And we don't want to, so we say, you do everything about it. So creating this destiny starts from my thoughts. And so no dependency on anything and anyone outside. And when we get no one to blame, we blame him. He is responsible for all the mess in my life. So always someone to blame. So I choose, I create. And that's why whatever I am in today, whatever position I am in today, it's only because of the energy that I have sent out into the world. So if I am not liking what is coming back, I don't have to change what is coming back. I just have to change what is going out. What is coming back will automatically change.
And the next question is that, should we believe in black magic and prediction and astrologers?
I think there are things that are invisible, that are very real. I think that there are negative forces and energies. But what I can do is to make sure that I stay connected with myself and the one above, so that I protect myself from any negative forces or energies, whether they're human or supernatural or whatever they may be. You mentioned several things, so I've dealt with the first one. In days gone past, astrology was a very pure science. And today I think there may be many charlatans in the field out there also. It's become a great source of income for many. But in its reality, what astrologers are telling you are what the possibilities are. In London recently, we had a woman who writes the astrology
column.
Predictions, the columns, for one of the major newspapers, national papers in Britain. And so I put to her a question that I've had in my heart for decades. I said to her that how is it possible that 50 million, 60 million people in Britain who have been born under a particular star sign all experience the same thing that day? Since I was a child, I used to see the stars, but I never could quite understand how that could work, but I'd never had an opportunity to ask an expert that question. So the opportunity came up a little while ago. And she said to me, what we're doing is putting into a few statements a whole science. And the whole science is about personality, about influences, about possibilities. And it's impossible to put that in three lines. And so we're giving just a signal. But yes, you're absolutely right, that it's the human being with their own personality, and personality is an interesting subject to take up, because in one sentence I could say that personality, who I am today, is the sum total of what my experiences have made me. Where I was born shaped me, where I grew up shaped me further, people I was with, and so on and so on. And so, yes, at this moment my personality and my possibilities are absolutely infinite. Now it's up to me to choose what I do and where I go. And so astrology won't say to you, do this, do that, do the other, or this will happen or that will happen. It'll give an indication. And spiritual knowledge will tell you how to make your choices, because it'll give you an understanding of why your personality is the way it is and what it is you can do to mold it and adjust it. So there are all these things out there. But I think one of the interesting things about Britain today is that people are going very much into all of this. They're moving away from orthodox traditional religion and the regular system of going to temples or churches or whatever it may be, and they're going into all of these things of the supernatural. And what that's saying to me is that people are searching for answers, and the things that are orthodox around them haven't been able to give them those answers, but they're interested. And I mean, just the fact that all of you are here today is an indication that you're interested in these things. But the traditional things haven't always given us answers, but we have those questions. And I think that spiritual knowledge is the method to be able to find those answers.
And the other guy asked this question, do good souls, holy souls, exist in today's world?
If today I experience a moment of love, that's a very pure, elevated thought. If there comes a moment I see a child who needs help and I experience compassion in my heart, that's a very noble thought. And so the essential nature of the human being is of goodness. Do you believe that? Okay, so that's what we are. There is goodness, but it's become covered with a lot of dust. And so the whole purpose of meditation is clearing out that dust. But when we connect with that goodness which is inside ourselves, that's when we're able to have those pure, noble thoughts. So it's not a theory that can noble thoughts exist. It's a reality which we've all experienced from time to time. But what we would like to do is to not just make it an occasional experience, but to make it a daily experience, to make our life filled with noble thoughts and good feelings and good wishes, so that then this becomes a return to that which is our original state of humanity, our essential humanity.
Okay, we move on to the next question, which is very interesting. We all argue with each other at some point. Like the other day, me and my sister argued over what to buy for our dad on Father's Day, although we managed to solve that problem by just asking him what he wanted. But that was a small issue. How do we cope with close relatives who are expressing anger toward us?
How do we cope up with close relatives who are expressing anger towards us? Okay, so one choice was to get angry, like you asked, and the other one is to remain stable. But what do I do in order to remain stable? I've been experimenting this, that yes, each one of us, when we come into relationships, there are differences of opinion. Difference of opinion is there and will always be there. And do you think it should be there? Should there be a difference of opinion? Should there be, or should we all start thinking the same way? Imagine one morning the husband and the wife get up, same thoughts, same words, same actions. Interesting? No conflict at all. Same thinking. Interesting? How long will we be able to live like that? It's boring. The world is so beautiful. Our relationships are so interesting because we are all different. If we all become identical, it will be boring. But what we are trying to do the whole day is trying to make other people like us. You should think like me. Why? Because the way I think is right. That's the difference of opinion. Now both these sisters were having a problem because each one thought that what they had chosen was right.
Perfect.
And there is no doubt about it that we are right. But then, since we are always right, therefore, the opposite person is also always right. Right? It's just that we started thinking that I am always right, and therefore, the other one is always wrong, because we started living with this belief system that always one will be right and the other one will be wrong, and that's why there were these conflicts and clashes and we were not able to understand each other. Just try out one day tomorrow that I am right, but also you are right. Now what will happen with that is that the flow of energy between two people will be very healthy, especially with parents and children. Parents continuously are giving this energy to the children, you are wrong, you are wrong, you are wrong. Getting up late in the morning, wrong. Watching the television, wrong. Not studying, wrong. Eating pizza, wrong. Everything that you do is wrong. Ask the child. The child feels everything that he is doing is right. That doesn't mean, okay, keep watching television the whole day or don't eat healthy food. It just means trying to understand that the other person has a perspective. Because if I keep sending the child or the opposite person this energy, you are wrong, you are wrong, you are wrong, very soon what energy will flow from the other side? You are wrong. And then here are these two people trying to solve an issue but who have already decided that the other side is wrong. No dialogue, no discussion, nothing. But when two people talk to each other with this understanding that both of us are right, difference of opinion, but both's opinion is right from where they are sitting. From where you are sitting, the flower vase looks different to you, but from where we are sitting, it looks different. We can argue about it for years. Which one of us is right? And actually, just one thought, that side it's different and this side it's different. Any conflict after that? Will there be any conflict after that? And that's understanding. You know what we say, we can't understand each other? We understand very well, but what we can't understand is that you are also right. And then there is no question of getting angry. Anger always will come when I say, you are wrong, please listen to me because I am right. And then there is that conflict. So when we are able to have this smooth flow of energy, you may be saying the worst thing to me, something I just don't like. But if I'm able to understand you have a reason for saying and doing that, then I'm able to sit and talk to you about it without getting hurt and without getting angry. And then it's easy to solve all our issues.
Let's move on. How can we let go of past events and focus on the present?
It's again my choice. Mm-hmm. Do I want to continue to live in the past? Something's happened and it's gone and it's done, but I keep it alive by keeping repeating it in my own mind.
Yeah, because sometimes it's very difficult to let go of it.
Usually it's difficult, not just sometimes, but it's actually again the question of not understanding what's happening. And what I'm doing is, if I allow those past thoughts, those past scenes to keep coming back to me, I'm allowing those feelings that were associated with that to also keep coming back. There's a very interesting research that's happening at the present moment, And that's the whole subject of positive emotions. And usually what's happened in the last 100 years or so, there's been a lot of research and exposure to the whole subject of negative emotions. And negative emotions are usually kept alive by thinking of the past, and not even the beautiful things I've been through in the past, but the negative things I've been through in the past. If you look back over your life, how many beautiful things have happened? Well, how come I don't keep those memories? I hold on to the negative things that have happened. Somebody said a word, and they said it, and it's gone. It's out there in the ether. But I held on to it, and I kept repeating it. And so negative emotions come very strongly, like a sledgehammer. And so this is why they have such an impact, but also this is why it's been the subject of research. Positive emotions, they say, come fleetingly and very subtle and very difficult to measure, which is our experience generally, right? But they found that the one way to be able to develop positive emotions and feelings, and it's the only way actually, is meditation. Why? Say for example, I can have a piece of chocolate and feel good about it. But if I keep having more and more and more, not only will I feel not very happy about it, but I'll actually begin to feel very uncomfortable with it. So whatever it is that's giving me happiness on a temporary basis and giving me a positive feeling, it'll come and it'll go. But on an inner level, creating that happiness is something I can learn to do, and I can hold it, and I can keep it. And so I have the understanding of what do past memories bring to me if I'm holding on to negative memories, and how are they interfering in the things I'd like to do today. It's a huge energy that's being wasted. It's depriving me of the possibility of doing what it is I would like to do at this point. You know how we say that, well, I have so many inspirations and how come none of it happens? Well, they come for a moment and then they disappear because I'm not giving it that energy to actually apply it in my practical life and make it work for me. And so letting go of the past so that I can focus my energy now is something which is valuable for me, to give me happiness today, but also to be able to shape my life in the way I would like for the future. So knowledge, understanding, spirituality, this is where spirituality and practical life absolutely come together.
Although, before we go to meditation session once again, just two more questions. Even though we are in 21st century where we talk about empowering women, all of us know that discrimination against women do exist. And can we raise our voice against it in a positive way? And what challenges do the Brahma Kumaris face as an organization run by women?
If I hadn't come to spirituality way back in the 60s, I would have become a feminist. But I was very lucky, because when I came to spirituality, I realized that female is a role. The eternal being that I am is the soul. And yes, within this female role, and for a few thousand years, it's been a patriarchal society. That's a reality, east, west, north and south. And perceptions of attitudes beginning to change this much. Long, long way to go still. That's also a fact. But if I change my own awareness and come to the realization of who I am, man or woman, I'm actually a soul. And in that awareness, there are no limits that anybody else can impose on me. The only limit that can be imposed is what I put on myself. And so when I come back to my own inner dignity of who I truly am, there are no barriers. That is a fact. And yes, when the Brahma Kumaris started in 1937, the founder, Brahma Baba, decided that in order to redress the balance of injustice in the world, women had to be given the opportunity of being teachers and leaders, but also because he could see that the quality of women in terms of care and nurture and sustenance was such an important quality for spirituality, he gave that role to women. And it was very much challenged, not just at that time in the 30s, but then through the 50s and 60s and later on also. But today I think there's a recognition that the feminine principle is needed in the world. I'm not talking about feminism now, but the feminine principle, which means things like compassion and care and love. The world has become very cold-hearted, and that needs to be redressed. And the feminine qualities of compassion and care are now being recognized. And you have a person, for example, like Mother Teresa, and she has the power of the man, but she also has the compassion of the feminine. You have a person like Mahatma Gandhi, and again, he has the ability to act, but he also had the ability for gentleness and non-violence. So, man or woman, what I can do, and it happens when you go inside and begin to know how to develop your own inner being, is to be able to balance these masculine, feminine qualities, which both are needed, but we've neglected to understand.
Now I would like to request you to take us to another session of meditation, please.
Just sit comfortably, relaxed but alert, so that we can go on a journey together. The body sits quietly, and for a short time, I decide to go on an inner journey. The world out there, and even my physical body, both stay quiet for a moment, and I go inwards. I go deeper and deeper beneath all the waves of thoughts that are coming from so many different directions. And as I go deep inside my own inner being, I come to that sacred space which is my own, that no one can touch and no one can enter. I step inside. I discover the peace within me. I'd forgotten that peace belongs to me. I was looking for it outside. And now I realized it is within. I connect with my own inner treasure, and I stay enjoying this state of peace. And in this awareness of peace, my mind, my heart are open, and I can feel the divine presence of the Supreme Mother and Father, the Being of Light. In my busyness, I forgot my peace, myself, and my parent. And now I begin to connect with this being of light. And I savor the pure love that pours forth. The being of light is a being of love and a being of truth. And in the presence of the divine, I realize I had moved so far away from my own inner truth and the being of truth, that now I'm motivated to come back to reality, to come back to truth. I recognize its importance. It's the pillar of human life, of civilization, of the world. And in this awareness of the Supreme, in the presence of eternal truth, I begin to see the illusion, the falsehood that had trapped me, and I allow God's light to touch my inner world and awaken the truth within my own self. And this awareness gives me strength, fills me with power, but also with great joy. I can let go of that which is artificial and enjoy the truth, the reality again. In this awareness of the light of love and the light of truth, I come back to the awareness of this room and the things that need to happen here. I hold this light within myself, so that this light guides my thoughts, my words, and my actions.
I would like to thank you for your timing. I would like to thank you from whole of Glasgow, from bottom of my heart, so that you take time out for Glasgow. Thank you so much for awakening us. I would like to thank you all our audience who take time out. Thank you very much for your invaluable time. Now I would like to request Rosemary so that she can come on stage.
Thank you. Well, we'd like to say thank you very much, Pooja. It was very good of you to give your time. And I would also like to thank our two speakers for giving us so many solutions, I think. And again, thank you both for coming up to Glasgow. Thank you, Pooja. Thank you to the audience. I hope you've enjoyed this evening.
I really like the way that she was saying how they don't require people to trust in anything. They encourage them to experiment.
That you are a beacon of strength, knowledge, spiritual power, and you are aspired to inspire us. Om Shanti.
I think it was a really ideal topic to be discussing, which we have done today.
As Sister Janti was saying, to create our thoughts is what gives us power, and I found that their thoughts were very powerful.
And, you know, the more people get like yourself into Nottingham, the better it will be.
But all I can say is, yes, I am much, much more aware of my thoughts now, and I know I can control my thoughts.
Like Brahma Kumari, don't convert people.
Yes.
They want you to stay where you are, but experience spirituality in your daily life.
Which I think we hear from a lot of organizations, but the way Anupriya, Shivani ji and Janki ji have expressed, it's been marvelous.
Om Shanti, says him. On behalf of Her Majesty the Queen, I welcome you both.
It was so good. It changed me a lot.
But the practical, what is the difficulty in life, and what is
the problem?
That is. I think I believe that I have learned something today.
May this be the first of many. This is the first one here at Great Town Hall, but it will not be the last.
Yeah, it has. I mean, I felt really inspired after the talk. I mean, I loved the whole way it was structured and how we've got, you know, like how they kind of spoke through the meditation, and I feel like they instilled a lot of hope into me.